I would ask you to take your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, and we're going to be looking today at verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Notice what the Word of the Lord says to us. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. A couple of years ago, Wendy's ran an advertising campaign. And the campaign was characterized by one saying, and it became a popular slogan in America. And the slogan was, "Where's the beef?" A little old lady would come and she would be served a hamburger, and she would look it over, and there'd be this huge bun and just a small patty of beef, and she would utter that famous slogan of, "Where's the beef?" And it became a tremendous advertising campaign. It was a slogan that was on the lips of millions of people. Today, as I come to you to preach from this text of Scripture, my question is simply this: where is the passion? Where's the burden? Where is our passion to see lost people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is the burden to pray and to call upon God to save, to transform sinners? One of the heartbreaking things that I see, one of the most amazing things that I see, is that of a lack of interest in praying for the lost. I do conferences on prayer evangelism and write upon the subject of praying for the lost and praying for the spread of the gospel. And one of the things that always amazes me is the seeming lack of interest, the seeming indifference to this. It's amazing. It's heartbreaking. And the question is this: what has happened? Why are we lacking a passion for the lost? Why are our altars empty? Why is there no fervent crying out to God for those that are in need of Jesus Christ? Well, from the text of Scripture we have today, I want to give you three reasons. Three reasons why we have lost the burden. We have lost the passion. Three reasons we are so prayerless. Our altars are so empty. And why we are not seeing the impact upon lost people that we should be seeing. The first reason we have in our text of Scripture is simply this. The reason we have no passion, the reason the burden is gone, is because our love for Jesus Christ has grown cold. That's what the Apostle Paul says again in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Notice the phrase where Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire." Paul says, "It is my heart's desire that Israel would be saved." Paul had a passion for lost people. He was broken over the lostness. He longed to see them enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice the intensity of his burden in Romans chapter 9. If you will, Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. He says, "I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." The Apostle Paul is saying here, if it were possible, I would trade places with them if they would get saved. He says in the text of Scripture, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ." That word "accursed" means to be damned to hell forever. It speaks of eternal damnation. It speaks of the reward of those that reject Jesus Christ, and that is of eternal damnation, eternal punishment in hell. And Paul had such a longing. Paul had such a desire. He yearned to see them saved, and if it were possible, he would trade places. He would go to hell in their place. He had such an intense desire to see them come to Christ. Now, why did Paul have such a burden? Why was there such a consuming passion? It is because of his love for Jesus Christ. It is because of the intimacy of his relationship to Jesus Christ. His relationship to Christ, his intimacy with the Son of God, drove him with a great passion for the lost, a consuming desire to see them saved. If you will, look in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, and notice what it says there. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. A tremendous statement of the Apostle Paul. He says here, Philippians 1, 21. Notice what the Word of God says. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die gain. You hear what he's saying? For to me, to live is Christ. He is saying, Jesus Christ is my life. He is the reason I live. He is the pursuit of my life. Then look in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul again writing here, and he says this, but what things were gain to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. But indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul is saying here that Jesus Christ is precious to me. He is saying that no matter what he lost in coming to Christ, all those things he turned away from to come to Jesus, Jesus is far superior. Jesus is far preeminent. Jesus is far better. He is saying that I turned my back on those things to come to Jesus, and the knowledge of him is greater and sweeter and better than anything I could have ever had without him. You see, in Jesus Christ, Paul found true salvation, forgiveness, hope, and peace. Jesus was his most precious possession. Jesus was his greatest gift. And because of this, he wanted others to know Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was so precious. Because Jesus Christ was so valuable. Because of his understanding and his knowledge of Jesus Christ. He yearned for others to enter into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was the center of his life. The top priority of his life was to love Christ and to follow him. And this caused Paul to have a burden for the lost. This created within him a broken agony for those in need of Jesus Christ. For you see, Jesus loved lost people. Jesus had compassion for the lost. Jesus reached out to the lost. Jesus associated with lost people. Jesus shared the good news with lost people. Jesus even wept over lost people. Since Paul loved Jesus, and since he followed Jesus, he was going to do the very same things. Paul's brokenness for the lost flowed out of his relationship to Jesus Christ. Because he loved him and followed him, he had a consuming passion for the lost. His experience with Jesus, his pursuit of Jesus, created his burden. This should give us insight into why we don't have a burden. Why we don't have a brokenness for those who are lost. And it is simply because our love for Jesus has grown cold. We have taken for granted what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. If we love Jesus Christ, if we are following Jesus Christ, shouldn't we be doing and feeling the same things that He feels and that He felt and that He did? I mean, today, if we call ourselves the followers, the disciples of Jesus, if we call ourselves Christians, shouldn't our lifestyle reflect what Jesus felt and what Jesus did? Of course. And the only reason today that we're not reaching out for the lost, the only reason why we're not praying for the lost, the only reason why we're not weeping over the lost is because we have strayed from Him. Our relationship to Him has grown cold. We have failed to follow Him. We've been filled with the world and our own self-centeredness. Because if you're following Jesus, these same things should be produced in you. Today, is this true of you? Have you taken for granted what Jesus has done for you? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Have you lost sight of the preciousness, the value, the infinite worth of the Son of God? Today, are you more concerned about the world and your own desires than Christ and those people that need Him? Those that are in desperate need of His healing, saving power. The truth that I want to share with you this morning is simply this. As your love for Jesus increases, the deeper your desire to see people saved will grow. The more you imitate Him, the more you'll respond to the lost. The closer you walk to Him, the greater your burden, the more intense your intercession for those outside of Him. Have you allowed your love for Jesus to grow cold? Is it today the very reason why you're not praying for the lost? Today, would you have to say, you know, I don't have a burden for the lost. I'm not really praying for the lost because I don't love Jesus like I once did. I'm not following Him as I ought to. The first reason why we don't have a burden, the first reason we've lost the passion is because our love for Jesus has grown cold. But there's a second reason in our text today. And it's simply this, we have failed to pray for the lost. In the text, Paul declares that he prayed for the lost. He had a desire to see them saved, but he didn't stop with the desire to see them saved. He went on to pray, to call upon God, to cry out to God that they might be saved. He prayed that the Jewish people would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would surrender to Him as their Lord and their Savior. Paul combined his fervent desire with prayer for the lost. And actually, as he prayed for the lost, his desire to see them saved increased. As he prayed, the Spirit of God increased the burden. The Spirit of God increased the concern. And how this gives us another insight in why we have lost our burden and our brokenness for the lost. We simply do not pray for lost people. We pray for everything but the lost. I have been involved in prayer meetings through the years as a pastor and as an evangelist. And most prayer meetings are what I call organ recitals. We're going to pray for somebody's kidney and somebody's heart and somebody's liver and somebody's pancreas and somebody's eyes. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe in the power of God to heal. There's not anybody else, I mean, there's no one else today that believes any more strongly than in the power of God to heal than I do. I believe God is a healing God. But healing is not the most important thing. For if you get healed and you go to hell, what good has been done? Think about it. If a person is healed and yet die in their sin, what has been accomplished? Too often our praying is self-centered. It is focused on me, mine, and ours. Yet if we're going to see people surrender to Jesus Christ, we must pray for the lost. God has ordained that we must pray if we're going to see the lost saved. If you're going to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then there must be broken, fervent, agonizing intercession for them. Because the plain truth is this, if you're saved, somebody prayed for you. Today, if you're sitting here and you're a Christian, if you would say to me today, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, then I would say to you that somebody somewhere prayed for you. Somebody asked God to save you. Somebody cried out to God, they called out your name, and they said, God, save so-and-so. If you're a Christian, it's because somebody prayed for you. Now, won't you pray for others? But you see, prayer releases the power of God in the lives of lost people. And this power is absolutely necessary for people to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody can be saved without the power of God. The power of God must be released in order to break the hardness of heart, to strip away the self-righteousness, to show him or her their need, his or her need for Jesus Christ. Without the power of God released through prayer, there is no hope. Our efforts will be in vain to reach people without fervent and broken prayer. Our lack of prayer is the reason why they're not concerned. They have no concern for the gospel because of our lack of prayer and concern for those who need the gospel. Their lack of tears and brokenness flows out of our lack of tears and brokenness for them. So many times some burden in my heart. Because as I preach in different churches and travel across this land, people are so proud and so dignified. We're so caught up in our own desires, our own time. You know, we want to have church in our own way, in our own time, and we want God to meet us from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock or from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. We don't want to have to sacrifice. We don't want to have to bend our knee. We don't want to have to do anything that's going to call upon us to sacrifice or to deny ourselves. But I want you to understand there's a world out here that is lost and is going to hell. And if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to see a difference, then we must be willing to put away our self-centered desires. We must be willing to sacrifice our time. We must be willing to give of our own energy. And we must bow down before the Lord God of heaven and earth and cry out to Him for those that are lost. They need Jesus. They must come to know Him. How can we sit in our churches week after week and never cry out to God for those that are lost? How can we never be broken? How can we never hunger for those that need Jesus Christ? When was the last time this church was broken for those that are lost? When was the last time tears flowed in this church for those that were lost? When was the last time this altar was filled with people broken and crying out to God for those in need of salvation? Maybe I need to rephrase that. Has there ever been a time when there were people in this place broken, burdened, crying out to God for those that need Jesus? Is this why you're lacking a burden? Is this why you're lacking brokenness for the lost around you? Because you're simply not praying for those that are lost? As you pray for the lost, the Holy Spirit works in your life to create these things in you. For you see, when you pray, you're yielding yourself to the work of the Spirit. When you pray, you're yielding yourself to the power of the Spirit. And as you pray, the Spirit of God increases your burden. The Spirit of God creates in you that consuming passion for those that need Him. As you pray, you're yielding yourself to His work in your life. Have you failed to pray for the lost? Are you diligent to pray for those that need Jesus Christ? One of the reasons why we don't have a burden, why we're not broken, why we don't have the passion, is because we're not praying for the lost. Our text of Scripture reveals that the first reason we lack this passion, this burden, is because our love for Jesus has grown cold. Number two, the second reason is because we simply don't pray for the lost. And there's a final reason in our text of Scripture why we lack that passion, why we lack that burden for those who are lost. And it's simply this: we have compromised the gospel message. Now, many might passionately disagree with this point. I mean, you may vigorously disagree. We haven't compromised the gospel. But yes, we have. We have compromised the gospel. And it has killed our evangelistic fervor. We have compromised the gospel. And it has absolutely rendered us powerless in prayer. You see, we have compromised the gospel. You must understand that there's always two ways that we can compromise the gospel. One of the ways is by perverting it. In other words, adding something to the gospel or taking away something from it. We can compromise the gospel by perverting it, by adding something that shouldn't be there, by taking away something that is vital. But the other way that we compromise the gospel is by silence. By failing to boldly and clearly make known the gospel message. In Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, Paul explains why the Jews were lost. They would not accept Jesus Christ. They would not surrender to Jesus Christ. He says in verse 2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." And he says this, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Paul is saying here simply this: God grants His righteousness to those who believe in Jesus. To those who believe in Jesus, they are clothed in His righteousness, and they're accepted, they are forgiven, they're adopted by God. That is how people come to a saving knowledge of God. That's how people enter into a right relationship with God, is that they surrender themselves to Christ, they trust Him, they are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. God sees that, God accepts that, God adopts them, God forgives them, God loves them. But the Bible says, Paul says, the Jews are ignorant of God's way of righteousness, but they've set about themselves to establish their own righteousness. Meaning simply this, that rather than surrendering to Jesus and receiving His righteousness through faith, rather than acknowledging who Jesus is, they've rejected Him, and now through their own works, through their own religiosity, they are seeking to earn their salvation. They are seeking to merit through their own works, their own goodness, the forgiveness, the acceptance, the grace of God. And Paul says that's exactly why they're lost. It's because they've rejected God's way of salvation, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. They refuse to believe that Jesus Christ was God's way of salvation. They rejected Him, and they determined that through their own rules, through their own religion, through their own works, they would make themselves right with God. And for that reason, they were lost and headed for hell. Paul is saying here simply this, that they rejected Jesus, and for that reason, they were lost. They were headed for hell. They were not accepted by God. nor forgiven by God because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand the same is true today. Anyone who has not surrendered to Jesus Christ is lost and headed for an eternity of damnation and hopelessness and punishment. For you see, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He is the only Savior. He is the only hope. The works of man will never do. One's family relationships will never gain acceptance with God. The church you go to, all the things that you may do, baptism, all the things that you may purport that will gain acceptance, all those things that you think will make you right with God, none of them will do. None of those things, works, religion, baptism, being a good person, coming from a Christian family. I mean, you can name all kinds of things. You can name all kinds of circumstances and works that people depend upon to make them right with God, to cause them to feel they're accepted with God. But I tell you, the Bible slams the door on all of them. For it is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone who saves. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible is stunningly clear. What does it say? That whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life and doesn't face eternal damnation. Acts 4:12 says that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. There is no other name that will bring a man into a right relationship with God. The Bible slams the door on all others and simply says Jesus is the way to salvation. Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one comes to the Father but by Me." The Bible is clear. Jesus does not hesitate, nor does He stutter. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." No hope but in Jesus and Jesus alone. All other ways are fake. All other ways are false. All other ways are eternally fatal. Unless you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, unless you've had a personal encounter with the Son of God in which you have turned from your sin to trust in Him, to give your life to Him, then the Bible says you are lost. That you are in your sin, and that you are headed for an eternity in damnation. And they said, "Well, how have we compromised the gospel?" Our silence on that point. You see, we have not asserted that as we should. I have preached in places and have run across numerous people that I've preached on messages like how John 14:6 and John 3:16 and talk about how Jesus is on the way of salvation. And I've had people come to me and they're just almost curse, criticize, lambast me. How intolerant. How arrogant. But the Bible's true. Jesus never hesitated. He makes it clear He is the only way of salvation. But you see, there's an even more subtle form of the compromise of the gospel. Even more subtle of the silence is when we fail to truly believe that anybody, including a family member, a friend, a co-worker, when we muddy the water, when we neglect the fact that this person without Jesus regardless of who they are or what they are. Without Jesus, they're lost. Without Jesus, they're headed for an eternity in hell. I read an interesting story a couple of years ago about Joan Rivers, the comedian. She said that one night she went out on stage, and when she got out there, she was absolutely horrified. And she ran off the stage. The reason that she was horrified is because that night she wore her glasses on stage. She said that when she got on stage with her glasses on, she could see the faces of the people. She could see their reactions. She could see them clearly. And when she saw them clearly, it horrified her and it drove her off the stage. And so she made a commitment then, a vow then, that she wouldn't ever go back on stage with her glasses, because when she went back on stage without her glasses, all that she saw was a blur and it made her comfortable. Hasn't that happened in our churches today? Hasn't that happened in our lives? We have blurred the gospel line. We've blurred the gospel message. And that's why we can sit content and comfortable, because we have failed to see. We have failed to proclaim. We have failed to thoroughly believe that anyone without Jesus Christ is lost and headed for hell. When we compromise the gospel in this way, we lose our burden. When you blur the gospel message, you will lose your burden for the lost. You will not be broken for them. It's easy to go to church, go to sleep, and be indifferent to the lost when you blur the gospel message. Yet when you let the gospel be the gospel, the jagged edge of the truth will cut your soul and cut your heart. That jagged edge of the truth, that anyone without Jesus, anyone without a personal relationship with Him is lost, will cut your heart and your soul, and it will create within you a burden and a passion for the lost. Today is the reason that you've lost your burden, that you don't have a passion, that you're not crying out to God for the lost. It's because you've blurred the gospel. You've compromised it. And you're content and comfortable. The truth is the truth. What Jesus says, what the Bible says, is always true, regardless of the time or the circumstances. And the Bible says, and Jesus radically declares it, He is the only Savior and the only Lord, and the only way to salvation is through Him. Have you blurred the message in your own heart and mind? And is that why you can sit content and comfortable without ever uttering a prayer for those who lost, without ever sharing your faith, without ever shedding a tear for those that need Jesus? Today, where is your passion? Where is your burden? Today, if you can honestly say, you know, I don't have the passion for the lost. I don't have the burden like I used to. Or perhaps today, you may say, I don't know if I've ever had that. I'm not sure if I've ever really had that overwhelming, consuming desire for lost. Today, will you cry out to God for it? Today, will you ask God to create within you that passion, that burden for those lost? Today, will you make a commitment to start praying for lost people? I want to challenge you today to start praying for those that are lost. You may say, well, you know, I've not been doing that. Well, I want to challenge you to start. I mean, begin to write down the names of people that you know that are lost. You may say, well, I don't know of anybody that's lost. Well, then ask God to give you somebody. Ask God to lay upon your heart. Ask God to cross your path. And then begin to intercede for that individual and look for opportunities to share the faith. today, will you ask God? Will you ask the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, to give you a fresh burden and passion for those that need Jesus? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to ask you by the power of the Spirit of God to create within everyone in this sanctuary and everyone that hears this by tape, in the name of Jesus, create within them a burden for the lost. Create within them a consuming passion to see the lost come to your Son Jesus. Oh Lord God, raise up mighty warriors who will pray for the lost out of the sanctuary, out of those that hear this message by tape. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Heavenly Father, in His name and for the glory of His name, that you will cause people to cry out on a continual basis for those who are lost, and that you will sweep thousands of thousands into the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, right now, begin to burn upon the heart, begin to write upon the heart. That burden, that passion. Oh Lord God, do it for the glory of your name. Do it for the glory of Jesus. Do it for the good of those that are lost. And Lord, do it for your people who are in desperate need of a touch of your hand. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.